dear ones. You're listening to the What God Is Not podcast with Father Michael O'Loughlin and Sister Natalia.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever, sister.
Hello, Father Michael.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's good to see your face.
Oh, snap. Jinx, you owe me some Coke. I mean, owe me a Coke.
That's probably not okay. We'll definitely not okay. No, we won't. welcome to... Do I need to like say what podcast this is, considering we have the intro?
We have the intro. And if people are... We're not hearing it, but people, if they're listening to this, then they have heard it. So, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, welcome anyways. I'm drinking out of my Pints with Aquinas mug that Matt gave me. So
shout out.
Shout out to Matt Frad.
Since Matt Frad did not give me a Pints with Aquinas mug, even though I was on his podcast first, I'm drinking out of a LaCroix can.
You're just hoping that he's going to listen to this and send you a mug now.
Matt, are you listening? Send me a mug. Show me yours up close. I think this is a new version. Yeah, I like that color.
They're really nice. Yeah.
But we should have him make ones in our new podcast colors. Do we have podcast colors?
Do you notice that the colors are black and silver?
Black and silver because of the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's right.
Sisters obsessed with the Raiders.
Obsessed is a very strong word. Not for what I do in general, but for the Raiders. This is, I'm podcasting from, is that a word? Can you say podcasting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm podcasting from one of our Pustinias. St. Fotina is who it's named after.
Nice.
Under the patronage of, which we talked about her on the last podcast. And this is where I'm going to be quarantined for 2 weeks.
You're a nun. You could do it just fine. You can take walks outside, right?
Yeah, but this is going to be the first time in my entire life that I don't hug someone for 2 weeks. Mm. I don't think I've gone more than a couple days without hugging someone.
If you guys weren't so focused on obedience, I know at least one or two of your sister nuns who would sneak over just to give you a hug once mother went to bed and then sneak back. But I know because you're nuns and you're being so obedient that you will not do that.
That's not even okay to suggest.
I'm not, you're not the one doing it. I wouldn't suggest it to the ones I have in mind.
Oh my gosh.
Although, yeah, and I know you wouldn't sneak over to the other side. So if you don't know Christ the Bridegroom Monastery, there's a road, a very busy road with Amish traffic, with horses and carriages that pass by.
One of them just went by while you were saying that.
It's funny because like I'm having this flashback right now where I can actually hear the clop, 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 clop. Even though I'm not there, I'm like in the middle of LA and I'm hearing the clopping just because I've been there and heard the clopping.
Yeah. You haven't been here in a long time since what, like October, I think.
Why do you ask me these things? I have no idea. I don't remember what month.
I know. You don't even remember what month it is now, probably.
I remember I've been there. I know what month it is now because I have something very, very special to me happening in 2 days. Do you know what
anniversary?
That is, sister? Oh, yeah. Anniversary of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My parents will be 44 years married.
That's not even what I was referring to. I know it's also their anniversary.
I was being falsely humble.
Oh, emphasis on the falsely.
Exactly.
It's also Father Michael Lachlan's anniversary.
My anniversary.
15 years, yeah?
Yes, 15 years. I guess it's a big one, huh? I should do something. I should have all my friends over. Not...
Oh, COVID joke.
I know. I think I am suffering worse than anybody by not having my 15th anniversary celebration because of this stupid quarantine.
Oh my gosh.
Suffering more than anybody. Sister who should be Mother Natalia right now.
Yeah, as of 2 weeks ago. Do you know that you share your anniversary with Deacon Travis's birthday. So Deacon Travis is my best male friend, who you obviously know Father Michael quite well. And he's being ordained. The reason I'm quarantining is because he's being ordained a priest on June 6th. So by the time this is out, he's already a priest. Oh yeah, shout out to Father Travis Crotty.
You got to give his last name too.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you love him enough to not hug anybody else for 2 weeks.
That's
when you
right.
Get back.
That is some serious love. Yeah.
Nice.
So, are we good?
All right. Well, I remember this time that we're processing last one. So I have something
good for you.
That I actually thought of during the last one that I want to say. And that was that you shared, we were talking about, vulnerability, mentioning our own sins, the testimony of God's healing and his mercy, his empowering my kenosis, my self-emptying, his movement towards theosis, my union with him. And I thought as we were podcasting, we were running out of time, I thought I need to begin the next one with some sort of testimony of my own sin, because I didn't talk about my own sin at all, but my own sin and also God's forgiveness. So I think this is one of the things when I talked to Father Nathan Goble, my old podcast co-host, and I said to him, one of the reasons why I think I want to start a new podcast is because I'm an external processor and I need to process like events in my life and theological thoughts I have and even my homilies and things like that. I need to process them by talking it out. So you are the new victim, Sister Natalia. But, and so I actually, the next
God
podcast
help me.
I do, I'm just literally going to process what happened to me last night. So, again, this podcast could be very well planned, organized, outlined topics that we talk about, but that's not my personality. I know it might be yours, so your topics can be that way, sister, and I actually would love for them to be that for the people that like that more, but mine are generally not going to be. But I do want to begin with not the experience happened to me last night, but happened to me on Tuesday. So, and this is my sin, and I'm being very vulnerable here, so love me more and pat me on the back and all those things. I want my reward, earthly reward. I want my reward on earth. I don't. I had a wonderful day on Tuesday. I took a real day off. I forget if I told you this, sister. I had a real day off. I stayed in Palm Springs for the night with a new friend, the grandparents of a friend of mine. And then I took a hike and it was absolutely wonderful. Great to get out. I took a 2 mile hike in my Birkenstocks because I didn't have any other shoes. But it was still good. I mean, my Birkenstocks are actually they're quite supportive of my feet. They're my favorite shoes. But so I get all the way up there. I come down that night. I was going to see some of my best friends in the world. They live up in Camarillo, but I was driving through. I was like, I have some extra time. I'm going to drive through Malibu just to see the beach. I had not seen the ocean in weeks. So I drive along Malibu and as I'm going, I decide to, I'm going to pull over and go to the beach. So the beaches are just brand newly opened. And so I am looking for a spot and I have my blinker on. I'm going slow because I can't tell where there's a fire hydrant, things like this. I'm going to do street parking. So I know this is totally my fault, but as I'm going slow, these cars are getting kind of frustrated behind me because I'm kind of looking for a spot. And so one of them goes whizzing around me. Now, I know he was frustrated and I know it was mostly my fault, but I had to swerve to the right. I don't think he would have hit me. And I normally trust other drivers. I had to swerve to the right and I hear a clink and I think, oh my gosh, I must have hit the car. Like, and I must have hit their rearview mirror. So anyway, backstory. I got a letter last week. And I can't believe I'm saying this on record. I got a letter, hoping before this comes out, I'll have remedied all this. I got a letter last week from my car insurance company in Colorado saying, we just found out that we cannot transfer your State Farm insurance to California, which is my intention. So I like that. All the letter says is call us. But as soon as this happens, I'm going, I probably have car insurance, but I might not. Like I might not have car insurance. So I pull over and here's the sin. I pull over and I say,
This is such a stressful story.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I was there. and I pull over and I get out of my car and I look at my rearview mirror that I thought got hit, and there's nothing on, no marks, nothing. And so in my mind, I'm saying, could I justify assuming that a half a block back where this happened, there's also no marks on the other car? Would I be justified in saying, I don't know if I have car insurance right now? It was on my mind. Would I be justified in saying, even if I do, there might be court, it's going to be a lot of money, I don't have a lot of money right now? And all these practical things are going through my mind. And then I hear our Lord just say, what is more important, to do the virtuous thing and the freedom, real freedom. I've experienced before. When we do the virtuous, the right thing, there is a true freedom that even is like a physical high. And I know that I our Lord needs to spoon feed me grace sometimes. But whenever I kind of force myself to do something that I don't want to do, kind of similar to what you were talking about last week, didn't want to do, our Lord, thank God, spoon feeds me grace and gives me a spiritual high. So I pretty much heard our Lord saying, do it. I'll give you that spiritual high. I'll give you the feeling of freedom. So I write on a napkin, hey, my name is Michael O'Loughlin. Here's my phone number. I don't know if I made any damage on your car. There wasn't any on mine, but I just want to let you know that if you find any damage, call my number. And I walk over to the car. It's like maybe a half a block back. And like the rearview mirror is shredded. Like
the mirror
is gone. The casing on the outside of the mirror is gone. It's like spread probably 20 to 30 yards down the street, just the mirror, but the side view mirror. And so I go, oh, shoot. So I write on the napkin, update. I definitely hit your car. There's definitely a mark. I am so incredibly sorry. My phone number is above. I put it on the car. I get back in my car and I start driving and I'm going, I know I shared with you, sister, there was some issue that was going to take weeks to remedy. I told you that this is it. So I thought, do I have car insurance? I don't know. How much money is this going to be? How long is it going to take me to pay this off? Is this guy going to just throw the book at me? Everything. And so I'm thinking, what is the only way for our Lord to get me out of this? Like my mind even went there. What is the only way for our Lord to get me out of this? Can obviously, the person's not going to say, I'm fine. I don't need a side view mirror. You know, like that's how our Lord, he takes care of me sometimes by having people just be very, very generous with me. But I'm like, that can't happen. I destroyed the mirror. So I'm trying to think of like, what's the good that's going to come out of this? I'm trying to like presume on our Lord. And so I get a call late while I'm at my friend's house. I don't even hear the phone ring. Anyway, unknown number. So I get it the next morning. That was the morning I talked to you, sister. And Anyway, to make a long story short, I finally called the guy, but I had that high anyway. I had that high driving to my next appointment, and our Lord taught me all these things. In the moment, I had these really, really deep thoughts about virtue, about not knowing your left hand know what your right hand is doing, about just doing the right thing without even thinking about it, trusting in our Lord. It was a really, really beautiful, beautiful drive through beautiful California to get to my friend's house. So anyway, with social distancing and everything we did. that's kind of a lie. Anyway, a limited social distancing.
Oh my gosh.
So I get there, I'm thinking about it. The next day, I talk to you before I call this guy back. I finally call him back and he just says, you know, man, I normally wouldn't, you know, would just kind of say, you know what, I want to do the right thing here and I don't want to get this guy in trouble, but obviously there's damage there. And then he said, but do you want to avoid talking to insurance about this? And I said, honestly, bro, I just want to do what's right. I just want to. And I was, again, on this high, I was like, I just want to do what's right.
Do you say bro now that you live in California?
It's bro and dude all the time.
Oh,
and
my. Dude. Ugh. Okay.
And so I call him. He goes, okay, let me see. Then he calls you back and he says, okay, I thought this was going to be really, really expensive. Again, no damage on my car. He says, I thought this was going to be really, really expensive. But he says, I found something online, a part online for $100. Now, you know, labor can be expensive. So can you Venmo me $400? And I said, you know what? I don't normally have that money, but I just got my Trump bucks. I got my money from the government and I had the check sitting right next to me. And I said, you know what? Yes, I will spend, you know, a third of this, unfortunately, on my mistake, my bad. So then he said, I Venmo him the money. All is done, I thought. And then the next day he says,
I thought
installment went well and he Venmo'd me back $100.
What?
I know.
Who and does so, that?
Exactly.
This is a good man. Shout out to whoever
to
that man
guy.
Is.
This guy. So I texted him back. I was like, you know what? Thank you for being a man of virtue. And because he had already thanked me for being, not without saying that, but he had thanked me for putting the note on the car.
Sure.
Especially like in the two stages of the note, you know? but anyway, I thought, you know what? Because of the money I got, I would pay $300 again for that whole experience. Not just for my experience, but because I hope that there was a bit of evangelization there. I know that our Lord always works that way. So whatever, hopefully the Holy Spirit is at work in this guy's life. The fact that he would give me back $100, he's in a sense a better man than me. But so the sin here was the, it took me way too long to decide to actually put the note on. I mean, I want to say that I would just do the right thing, but I am such a presumptive man, priest. Like I would get over the guilt. Like I'd be like, oh, I did something really bad. I didn't put a note on the car, and I would totally get over it. I know that. Like it would not. I would sleep well that night. This is why our Lord has called some people like me to be born and raised Catholic, where we have it drilled into us, and then to give us a gift like the priesthood where we have to, for the sake of other people's souls, because I'm a near sociopath. I'm not, but right. But like that's nearly sociopathic to say, like, I might feel guilty for a couple minutes and then I would sleep well tonight. Totally. That's the way I am. So our Lord was teaching me, like, that's my potential for sin. But it was our Lord saying, in other words, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Be virtuous without overthinking it. If you overthink it, you're going to get to sin. Just do what you know is right. You have a well-formed conscience. Thank Christ. Thank your parents. Thank the church. Thank seminary. Thank your friends. You have a well-formed conscience that knows the right thing to do, and stop resisting. And it'll be good in the end. Even if it's only in heaven that we know it's good, but there's still this goodness in the end. So anyway, that's a really long way of telling my recent testimony of sin, because I do consider it sinful. I did confess it already. I do consider it sinful to have that hesitation and to even assume that I'm going to do something like not write the note. Even if there was no damage on the guy's car that's obvious, you should still write the note, because there was still a tap, you know, and it was certainly more than a tap.
Sure. Thanks for sharing.
Of course. Thank you for listening, all.
I have something very brief to share about the last one before I introduce our new topic. So it's only kind of, I guess it's only weekly related to the last topic, but I was reading during prayer a few days ago, I was reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and I was reading about the part where Apollos, I don't know if that's actually how you pronounce his name, but Apollos is preaching, and he's preaching the truth, but it's like not the fullness of the truth. And so Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside, and it says that they educate him better, and then he's like a great disciple and preacher for Christ. And I was thinking of this, I was praying with it in light of our last podcast, because we talked in the last podcast about, for those who didn't listen to it, we talked about idle chatter being a gossip, but also gossip about things that are true, and also just talking negativity, like things that are just not edifying. And so I'm reading this passage from Acts and thinking about how some people might have the response to that podcast of, but there are things that are negative things that do need talked about and do need acted upon. And there are wrongs that are done that need corrected and all of this. And so first of all, I wanted to make the distinction that, well, there needs to be a distinction between, are we just venting and complaining and speaking in that way, or are we actually trying to process a solution that we're going to act on? And I think that's a good distinction, because conversations about negative things do need to happen. But then secondly, I just find this so beautiful that the scripture says that Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and taught him. And then he went back to preaching, because I think that they didn't just call him out in front of everyone right. And like shame him or embarrass him or something like that. And I think that we, myself included, like you've had to temper me on this a lot in my life. We can tend to just get so zealous and just want so badly to preach the truth, that we don't really care who we're trampling all over in the process. And it's important to preach that truth, but of course to preach the truth with charity, as I think Priscilla and Aquila did. So that was the point I wanted to make.
Yeah. One thing I've done, and obviously this, I know a lot of gossip happens about like those in authority. So we almost always gossip about those who have a certain power over us, you know, and that's mm-hmm. a very natural thing to do. And so sometimes in that way, it's harder to find that balance of virtue and wisdom. Mm-hmm. So what I've, you know, obviously generally workplaces have some sort of, you know, HR department or some way of saying, you know, you shouldn't, if you think your boss is doing something wrong, sometimes for certain things you go to your boss, other things you go to HR. You know, you don't actually just address your boss directly. So I think it's important to know like what the acceptable process is of calling people out, especially someone that's in authority over you. But my general rule has been if you are talking to your coworkers about your boss or with your fellow parishioners about your pastor, your fellow priests about your bishop, like those conversations should not be happening unless you're actually going to do something about it. Like who mm-hmm. are you going to go to? Now, that's gossip. When it comes to venting, you're kind of saying, I'm saying this for myself. I'm saying this because I'm weak. So it might not be sin, but it's still a weakness of mine that I need to vent to you over just venting to Jesus, which is not a weakness. That is actually bonding.
Sure.
And even venting can be the act of non-weakness if there's obvious good that comes out of it. We're saying, you know, I'm doing this for the sake of obvious good. But yeah, so in other words, I think if you asked most people, if somebody sat down and heard me gossiping about my bishop and they said, oh, Father, you said that you never do this or you should never do this unless you're going to go to him. Like, which one of the two of you are going to the bishop after this? I don't think like most conversations like that would say, oh, yep, the plan is next Wednesday. You know, most conversations would be like, I'm definitely not going to the bishop. I'm definitely not going to my boss or to my friend or to my pastor about sure. these things. And I think that is one of the, we are very loose tongued nowadays in these, mm-hmm. and we always have been. It's happened to all generations. But there's, I think if we want to be men and women of virtue and really be people that are growing in self-emptying and in union with God through theosis, there needs to be these checks that make us, that we do things that are supernatural, like beyond what the average person on the street is doing. And that's an important thing mm-hmm. to consider. And I'm taking all your time, so I want to make sure you get to your topic.
That's cool. I think you're touching on exactly what you, the policy you had at one of your previous parishes, if someone was going to come to you with a complaint, either about you or about someone else, mm-hmm. they needed to first either tell you something positive or ask you, a question, some sort of catechesis, yeah. right? Was that your policy?
The policy is if you want to come to complain about something or even just like give negative feedback about something, you need to begin the conversation with an insight or a question about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So even if it's an insight saying, you know, they don't need to like, I'm not saying that they're going to have questions, I'm going to have answers. It's even, they're going to come and say, you know, this week I realized that Jesus is faithful, you know, in big ways and small ways, or here's a way that Christ brought me hope, or here's an insight I had about the Bible that I read this week, or an insight from the gospel. And then it orients it in Jesus. But the biggest thing is that, and this is, I understand I'm judging, here's another sin, but most people that are just that are weekly complainers. I mean, every parish mm-hmm. has those people and every pastor has it, that somebody has nothing good to say. I mean, all they do is every week complain about me or about somebody else, and at least they're telling me these things. But I say, you know, I have never heard in these times that has happened, I've never heard them talk about Jesus at all. Like they might talk about the parish finances or about, you know, the physical situation, practical situations in the church, but never about the man Jesus Christ. And I just, if that was me doing that, I would not be a praying person. I'm not saying they're not. I'm not saying they're mm-hmm. not union with God, but if that were me doing that, I know I would not be a prayerful person. So I'm saying it's important to be eloquent. And the person I had to say that to has never complained again. You know, and I wish they would, because that would kind of force them to have the insight of the question. But yeah, that's the policy. And I even have it here. I think it's really, really good. If you're going to say something negative or complain, tell the person first an insight or a question about Jesus Christ. And I even here, When I made that policy here, I said that that can be even the greeting. Mm-hmm. Glory to Jesus Christ. I mean, that is one of the things that's so beautiful about the greetings in the Byzantine Church. Like, we begin conversations, and it's if we understand what we're saying, glory to Jesus Christ and glory to forever, if we actually believe what we're saying, let every moment, but this conversation be a conversation for the glory of God. And then even calling him to mind and giving him glory in that prayer, in that moment can be a good preparation for a hard conversation, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. I'm going to move on because you're stealing all my time.
Do it.
Okay.
That's what this motion is for, sister. You got to do the blade across the neck to cut me off because nobody else can see that.
Yeah, that's the point. I don't get to embarrass you in front of all of the listeners.
I'm going
to
stop talking now.
Okay. Thank you. So I dropped on Father Michael right before the podcast. I said, oh, by the way, I changed my topic. So he has no idea what my topic is.
True.
But you're a podcast pro, so I figured that's fine. You cannot do that to me, just for the record. This is a double standard. So as I was praying a few days ago we were supposed to record this podcast a few days ago, and so I was praying in the morning during what we call our spousal prayers at the monastery, our time of private prayer in the morning with our spouse, with Christ. I told Jesus my topic for the podcast and asked him what he wanted me to share on that.
Shut it down.
He shut it down. he didn't shut it down, but he didn't really give me anything. And so I was like, well, if I talk about that, then I'm just going to be sharing from my own thoughts and my own, which can be fine. But I really want to be sharing on the podcast what's a fruit of my prayer, not just kind of my own reasoning or whatever. So I said, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to talk about? And he gave me a new topic. So if this topic happens to touch anyone, then you're the reason that this is being dropped on Father Michael. So
I also just want to say that I'm saying this on the podcast that we remember. We need to do a podcast on knowing that Jesus is talking to us.
I think
a lot of people might hear that because I do the time. Like, I sometimes I feel very, very clearly that it comes from God, but we need to do a podcast on that too. But anyway, because okay. I totally trust you. I totally trust you that the things that you say actually come from God. But just for the sake of the listeners, I think that some people will be like, I've never had that clarity. I think a lot of people have never had that clarity. So it's important to do that as a topic.
I think that's a really good idea. So let me introduce the topic for today, which is how to know that you're hearing the voice of Christ.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Is that really it?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes. So it was obviously the whole, okay, so example number one, that is clearly the Holy Spirit.
That is hilarious.
And so as I was praying with this, I just, this same scripture came back to mind that you quoted, I think in the first podcast that we did. I am for sure not going to remember what we've talked about on previous podcasts. I don't
you
know how
and
to
me both.
Oh man, this is going to be bad. But I think maybe we should just stop talking at all other times. That way, any conversation I remember with you, I know was from the podcast. That sounds horrible. Okay, so I'm remembering back to, I think it was the first podcast, you quoted Jesus, the passage about the Good Shepherd. And he's saying that he's the Good Shepherd. And I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Mm-hmm. And referencing that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And so that's what I wanted to talk about was how we know that we're hearing the voice of Christ and distinguishing that from, because we have, oh my gosh, we're not going to be able to do this in 15, 20 more minutes, but we can at least get started and then maybe do another podcast on it at another point.
Cool.
When you're not making public confessions.
All right.
No, it was great. I'm so glad you did. So anyways, because the thoughts that come to us or the experiences that come to us in prayer could be from God. They could be from the devil, or they could just be from our human nature. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, which in in really both, I'm trying to think, yeah, in both East and West, this is pretty much called discernment of spirits. Like in the Philokalia / Philokalia, depending on how you want to say it, they talk about this, about discernment. It's the same thing. So, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Is that
discernment
right?
Of spirits?
Yeah.
I think it depends on how you define fruits of the Holy Spirit.
No, I mean, like St. Paul, at one point he lists the fruits, and at one point he
right,
lists...
Right, in multiple places. Anyway, okay.
Okay, so moving on. I'm still like blown away by the fact that you're like, hey, we should talk about this sometime.
That was pretty awesome.
That was really great. So I wanted to share something that I had come across in a book called The Cantata of Love, which I highly recommend for people. It's a verse-by-verse reading of the Song of Songs. So I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but the Song of Songs is very important to our monastery, being Christ the Bridegroom Monastery. So we pray a chapter of it each night as a community at the end of Compline. But Origen, I really like Origen. Maybe we can discuss at some point the fact that he's, not a
heretic.
Saint. Yeah. I wasn't going to use such a strong word, but yeah, heretic is appropriate.
He's in a unique place in the church because scholars yes. always read him, love him, but he certainly had his weaknesses that were never resolved in his lifetime. So,
yeah. Well, and some of them are only suspected. Some of them are not even confirmed.
Okay.
You don't believe me.
You talk about the castration part?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? One of the, for those listeners, there's a couple heresies that he was specifically denounced for. One of them was castration, which he's self-castrated, but he did it in order to what he thought was kind of, if your eye caused, Jesus didn't cut it out. And when he was talking about impurity, he did that as a kind of a literal interpretation of the scripture. So it's hard to condemn him because of his zeal, but don't do that.
don't try this at home.
Yeah, exactly. Just like I think most people would say, do not actually cut your eye out if it's causing you to sin. You know, that's not what the scriptures mean in that case. But anyway, I'm talking too much again. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, yeah. So this podcast is not about castration.
Yes. We're going to call it that. We're going to call this podcast not about castration. That's going to be the title.
So Origen, I came across in Cantata of Love, the book that I was referencing, a quote by Origen followed by one of Gregory of Nyssa. And Origen says, in man, besides the bodily senses, there are five other senses which need to be exercised. The soul has a sense of sight to contemplate supernatural objects, a hearing capable of distinguishing voices that do not resound in the air, a taste to savor the living bread come down from heaven. In the same way, a smell, leading Paul to speak of the perfume of Jesus, and also a sense of touch, which John had since he told us that he touched with his own hands the word of God. And then Gregory of Nyssa says, just very succinctly, we have two kinds of senses, those of the body and those of the spirit. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what I want to talk about. And I have a couple brief things to share of my own experience, but I also want your thoughts on this, Father Michael, because I also kind of use the podcast to get spiritual direction for free. I don't actually pay you for spiritual direction.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Which I think we've talked about already. But so when people ask me why I joined the monastery, sometimes they're wanting to have an hour-long conversation where I'm sharing sort of my conversion / discernment story. And other times they want like the elevator speech, right?
Right.
But what I say ultimately in both of those conversations, regardless of how long it is that the reason I entered the monastery, the way that I discerned my vocation is it was through an experience of peace and joy. And and we learn from the Psalms. The psalmist tells us that the Lord's voice is a voice that speaks of peace, and joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ones that St. Paul lists.
I've heard of that guy.
Oh, I wish you guys could see his glare right now. So anyways, peace and joy is what it ultimately comes down to for me in my discernment. And I realize that this sounds very simple, but I think that it's a really important thing to talk about, because so often people come to me, and I'm sure to you, for help in their discernment. They want to know, how do I discern my vocation? And I think that the primary problem that we have, the primary problem that I had when I was first discerning, is that we think that discernment comes at a time when we have to figure out this particular big decision. But actually what we need to be doing is developing our relationship with Christ and learning how to hear his voice, so that when those big decisions come, it's not necessarily a moment of, I now need to silence everything else and just listen to what God tells me. It's that you already have this relationship and you're able to more easily sense what he desires. And the analogy I use, anyone who listened to the Matt Frad podcast that I was on already heard this, but it's unless he edited it out because I said something stupid, which is highly likely. I made such a stupid joke on the podcast and I was like, you're going to edit that, right? And he said, no. the analogy I use is that if a man and woman have been married for, 40 years, and the woman's going to go pick up dinner, I use the woman as the example because I think that the man might get this wrong even after 40 years. But the woman goes to... yeah, that's probably not okay. So the woman goes to pick up dinner. She doesn't necessarily need to ask, hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? You know, they have the relationship and she knows him well enough that she knows what he likes. She knows... And St. Alphonsus of Liguori talks about this as well, about how we need to be striving to unite our will with God such that our will becomes his will. Mm. So that's not a cop-out answer of, well, you don't need to discern your vocation. You just need to learn to pray. But ultimately that's what it is, right? We need to develop our prayer life and our relationship with Christ so that we can learn how to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. So that we can then more easily discern those big questions. Yeah. So peace and joy are my primary experiences of the Lord. And I want to give a couple examples of this and also a counterexample of when I know that it's not the Lord that's speaking to me.
Nice.
So when I say that the Lord speaks to me, it's not that I'm usually hearing an audible voice. I want to clarify that for people, because I'm not some sort of mystic who just has these experiences where I hear the voice of Christ. I think I have a much more regular sort of average prayer life that I experience the Lord in the way that a lot of people do, and they maybe just don't realize that it's the Lord. And that's that in my prayer, I will often in the silence have words that come on my heart. I don't know how else to describe it. And the words that come to my heart, I then can discern, oftentimes with the help of Father Michael, where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. And again, whether it's from the Lord or whether it's from myself or whether it's from the devil. And sometimes it's a mixture of all of those things. Mm-hmm. And this isn't very organized, but something I did want to point out is I think a spiritual director is very important in things like this, because we need someone helping us to someone who's more spiritually advanced than us, helping us to sort through those things. Mm-hmm. All of the Desert Fathers talk about this. You know, we hear about, Cassian has this story about St. Anthony, and St. Anthony tells this story that Cassian is quoting about a monk who decided that he could discern well enough on his own. And so then he has been a monk for like 40 years or something, and then has this terrible fall into sin because of his pride. So it's so we need this direction regardless of where we're at in our spiritual life. So anyways, back to the peace and joy. So when I made my first visit to the monastery, before I came, I was 99.9% sure I was called to the married life because I love men and I love babies. And so why would God be calling me to be a nun? But I felt like as a good Catholic, I needed to rule out that 0.1%. So I just came to visit the monastery. And I came for a 3-day visit. And Mother Theodora's sister had just died very young from cancer. And so her sister's funeral was while I was here on that 3-day visit. So obviously there was much grief in the monastery. We also had another discerner who was coming, who is now Mother Eliana. So shout out to Mother Eliana. She might actually listen to this. And she is deathly allergic to cats, and the monastery had a cat. And so on that visit, I was cleaning the floors and cleaning the walls and washing the curtains. And like, this is what I did for 3 days. And while they're like preparing for the funeral, and it's just, and I remember I was under the table and I'm scrubbing the floor, and I just said, this girl better have a vocation. and which she does, obviously, and I love her very much. So anyways, in the midst of this, I just felt such a deep peace and joy. That it was so deep that I can't even articulate it. And this was the exact experience that I needed as a gift from God, because there was no human reason to be feeling peace and joy on this visit. There was grief and there was hard work and there was, and so it just didn't make any sense except coming from him. And I remember, I don't know if you remember that weekend, Father Michael, but I called you and I am just like yelling at you. I'm not encouraging anyone to yell at their spiritual father. But I maybe used to do it a lot. And so I'm just yelling at you because I'm like, I came here 99.9% sure I was called to the married life, and now I'm only 50% sure. And you just start laughing, and I'm like, this isn't funny. This is all your fault. You made me come here. So, but anyways, it was that peace and that joy. And the antithesis of that is the anxiety that we can experience. And I want to be clear that the anxiety, and this is where having a spiritual director helps. The anxiety that I'm talking about is not just like our earthly anxieties that we have. Because I still have those at the monastery, right? And, there are always things going on in life that we, as we learn to accept God's will, we learn to be more at peace with those things. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about a deeper anxiety. And so I'm remembering the time right before I decided to apply to the monastery. I had kind of taken a break from discerning after my observership. That's a whole other podcast. But I had been feeling for a few months a deep anxiety about something. And you and I, at every direction we had, like, just couldn't pinpoint where that anxiety was coming from, because where the anxiety is, that's where something's misaligned with God's will, if it's that deep anxiety.
Right.
And, but looking individually at the aspects of my life, everything seemed in line, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong, nor could you. And so finally I get to a point, where I have a dream about the guy that I'm dating, again, another podcast. But this leads me to decide that I want to apply to the monastery, but I don't really know that I've come to that decision yet. And so you and I have spiritual direction. And, you said, do you remember this direction?
Is this after the pizza place one, or is this the pizza place?
This is the pizza place.
This is the pizza. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chaos Pizza on Pearl Street in Denver. Yeah.
Wow. I did not remember where it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That might be the first time you remembered something that I didn't. I know,
exactly.
so,
pat myself on the back.
Because no one else can, because exactly. COVID. Oh. so we're at this pizza place, And we have direction. And usually at this point in my life, direction was like, I don't know, 45 minutes of me yelling at you about how you don't know me and you don't know what you're talking about. And then maybe 20 or 30 minutes of me realizing that you're right and telling you that I love you and whatever. So it's like the balance has changed a little bit by this point, but yeah, it depends on the direction. Slightly. So I'm telling you, at the beginning of direction, you're kind of asking like, well, how are things with your boyfriend? And I'm like, oh, they're good. And you're like, well, how are things with work? And I said, it's good. What about your new roommates? That's great. And like, everything's just fine. And then, so we go through this for maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes. And then you say, wow, this might be the easiest direction we've ever had. And I said, yeah. So listen, I said, do you remember when you told me, everyone make note of this because it's probably the most helpful discernment advice I've ever received. Don't get a big head. So you said that sometimes when someone is discerning a vocation, it's not that they necessarily one day feel called to one or the other. It's that if they're truly 50-50 and open to either possibility, then one day they might realize a desire within themselves for one or the other.
So it's very important to say when you're discerning two decisions and there's not a moral evil in one of them, namely, you know, either one will be good, either one will be empowered by God. I'm just trying to discern which one God wants me to do among these two equally beautiful choices. Then you can say, if I am truly 50-50, in other words, I know that I would be happy and the kingdom of God would be built up with either one of these, then I have the freedom. It's a real freedom because I'll accept either one. If I know I'll accept either one, then I have the freedom to listen to what God wants. But yes, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's good clarification. But your point in it was that it might not be that God suddenly tells you one. It's that he might place a desire on your heart for one of them.
Yeah.
When you're at that's the crucial part of it, is you really have to be in that place of freedom, of you're willing to go in whichever direction God is asking of you. Of the two good and beautiful choices. So I said, do you remember when you said this? And you said, yeah, but it's okay if that's not how it happens for you. And I said, but do you remember? And you said, yeah, but that's not how it works for everyone. And I said, do you remember saying this? And you're like, yeah, I remember. And I said, I think I want to be a nun. And I didn't know those words were going to come out of my mouth at that direction. But as soon as they did, all of that anxiety I had been feeling for the past few months just completely melted away. And I think this is the distinction I was talking about earlier, is I still had the earthly anxieties of I was in love with the guy that I was dating and I had to break up with him. Shout out to Luke Spihar, who's not the guy that I was in love with, but he had recently played a concert at our parish, and one of his songs, An Explanation, is what gave me the courage to break up with this guy.
Nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you that, but so I had to break up with the boyfriend that I loved. I had to quit the job that I loved, and which was basically the first thing in my life I actually felt like I was good at. and so leave Colorado, which I so deeply love. And leave you and all of this. So there still was all of the earthly anxiety and all of the, oh my gosh, so much crying. There was so much crying. but there was a deep peace and joy that came along with that. And that peace and that joy, that is the voice of the shepherd. And it's the same peace and joy. I'll just say this one last thing, and then I'll let you actually talk. But it's the same difference. Oh, I could do a whole podcast on this. I did a video blog on this for our website. If anyone wants to watch the whole thing, it's about Mary of Egypt from several years ago. But
what's your website?
ChristTheBridegroom.org.
Thank you.
Yeah. Make sure you include the two T's because it's not Christ He Bridegroom or Chris the Bridegroom. That happens. Our email address is the same, christthebridegroom@gmail.com. So is that this is how I can tell the difference at this point when I am convicted of sin by the Lord versus by the devil. Because we might think that the devil doesn't want us to see our sin. But he does if it's going to lead us to despair.
Right, exactly.
And because the despair can end up being the much greater sin than whatever the original sin was. And so this is how I can tell the difference is when the devil helps me to see my sin, it can lead to discouragement, which leads to despondency, which leads to despair, and a feeling like you're stuck and you just can't get out of this. And whereas when we're seeing our sin, because the Lord is helping us to see it and we're open to seeing it through his eyes, then it leads to a contrition and to a repentance and always to this metanoia, this turning around, this conversion experience. And because the Lord always offers us a way forward. He doesn't want us to be stuck in that. And so this is a good way to distinguish and also to not feel despair about being in despair about your sin. Like that can be a vicious cycle. But if you realize, oh, I'm seeing my sin through the devil's eyes right now, then to take that opportunity to say, Lord, how do you want me to go through this? What's my way forward that you're offering me? Because he always offers us a way forward.
Yeah.
That's a lot of scattered thoughts about all of the, I just did the Father Michael external processing thing.
Yep, that's the best. That's why we do this. That's why we record it. I think there's, to summarize that scripturally, like you will know a tree by its fruits. So you can look at, you know, if knowing this sin or if I had this experience where I thought it was God revealing this to me and that led to, you know, resolution, conversion, dedication, you know, and all that led to hope, faith, and love, you know, which is gifts from God, then I can say that was probably God speaking into it. If it was something, namely the devil pointing out, or my own insecurities, pointing out my weaknesses that led to despair, it could be that I need to get stronger to be able to handle these thoughts, or it could be that it's absolutely from the devil and it's not even real. It's not even like the, there's nothing I can really convert to. There's no opportunity for conversion, or, you know, if we're feeling shamed about something we can't control, like the way we look or certain aspects of our personality or, you know, certain mental or physical disabilities we have, like those things being pointed out to us, since there's nothing we can fix, is only of the devil. You know, if those things get pointed out, we could say Jesus saying, even though you are, you know, handicapped in this way or disordered in this way, you will still do, like even in the midst of that, I'm still calling you to carry your cross, bear your cross, carry it well, and grow in holiness. And those become the fruits of it. So the good fruit can come from a bad feeling or a bad seed, maybe, if you will. But also, I think it's important to say that, you know, there's different gravity of the different discernments. And so one thing that's very important when it comes to discernment is time. You know, if you're going to marry somebody or promise celibacy, those are long, those discernments need to happen over a long period of time. Like sister said, talking to a spiritual mentor, spiritual director, and really distinguishing the deep and the surface anxiety and peace and how, and it's going to take a long time. But the beauty of it is this is what fasting trains us in. In fasting, we can say it's really not that big of a deal to mess up. If I say, you know, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer every day and I only get 50 minutes in until I need to run to something. And I'm like, shoot, I said I was going to do an hour. I did 50 minutes. Like that's not good, but it's not as bad as falling into more serious sin. So what we do is the fasting, like no meat on Fridays, et cetera, Wednesdays and Fridays, whatever you're doing, that right there will prepare for the greater temptations. So like, but those are small things. So my small discernments, I can say, let me practice discernment every single day in small ways, because the better I get at small discernment. By the way, one example I love to use is if you're in Divine Liturgy on a Sunday and like like perceive how you feel, because there is nothing else you should be doing. You are doing the best thing ever right now. So it, like, you know that you're doing the best thing you could ever be doing. You should be here. You should not be at home. You should not be at the beach. You should be in that church on Divine Liturgy. So you should feel deep peace being there. Surface anxiety maybe is insane. People might smell bad. Your kids are going crazy, but you know, you should have a deep peace about being here and receiving these graces in this communion with God. Now, that being said, so like, have those small moments, like every Divine Liturgy or every time you're praying the Psalms or in Liturgy of the Hours. Feel how that feels, because those small things will teach you about the bigger things. So same thing in discernment. Discern something small every single day. Should I have an orange or a banana? You know, now, again, does God really care? I don't know. But there's, that maybe is not a very good example, but other things where you can say, let me discern little bigger things than that. But let me discern about talking to someone, calling somebody up, dealing with the situation I'm dealing with spiritually, but in small ways that can take kind of a, you know, 10 minutes of discernment and then I move on. Or like you said, you just earlier, you kind of act out of a discerning life. I have a discerning life, and so I can act out of the discerning life rather than having to pray about every single decision. And that's kind of the hearing our Lord's voice more naturally or more frequently. And then when the big ones come up, then you can say, you know, okay, I've now had these smaller kind of time-tested, measured experiences of discernment that will then inform and help me to live out the big ones. And with especially with the small ones, it's very important to say, as many failures as I have, as many times as I realize I discerned the wrong thing, I wasn't listening correctly, those can be beautiful moments of learning and growth. And so you do not be afraid of the times you failed, but hopefully you won't fail in any of the big ones, although that happens too. But you fail in the small ones and realize I was listening to the devil or to myself or to my selfishness. And so I hone that and say, I know what it means to do what God asked me to do. I know what it means to do what the devil asked me to do, or myself, or the world. And so having those experiences can, again, hone and test and form us, allow God to form us when the small and the big decisions come up. In other words, we always, as Christians, we always need to be good at apologizing, messing up, getting back up, you know, going to confession, receiving the Eucharist, and then moving on with our life. So those little failures can actually be really, really helpful to not have failures in the bigger times, because we know what it means to not do it right as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I have one more image that I'll share that came to me. I was on a Theology of the Body retreat, Theology of the Body and the Interior Life, with Christopher West and Father Timothy Gallagher. And there was, which course I was on doesn't really matter, but it was a beautiful course. So I was taking some time for prayer at one point during the retreat, and I'm sitting in the chapel and I have my eyes closed, and there was a lot going on for me at that time with just like some struggles with community life and whatever. And so I don't even remember what it was, but I'm sitting there and I'm offering this to the Lord, this struggle I'm having in community life. And I hear something, again, one of those thoughts that arises in my heart, and it's very clearly a lie, and I know it's a lie. And then I did what you should never do, which is I engaged with the devil. And the devil is so much smarter than us, and he can fast better than us. He never has to eat. He can keep vigils. He never has to sleep, and he's so much smarter than us. and so this was just stupid, but I did it. So I didn't realize I was doing it. And I hear this lie and I just think that is a lie and I reject it. However, there's got to be some piece of truth in there, because like the devil's just distorting the truth or he's twisting something. And so Jesus, why don't you show me what that truth is? No, I don't even think I asked Jesus. I just started looking for the truth in it. That's what happened. And so I'm like pulling this lie apart, trying to find the truth that's in there somewhere. And I just confused myself. I got so wrapped up in it all that I confused myself, and I no longer could remember which part was the truth and which part was the lie. And I'm totally confused. And the image that came to mind, so finally I said, like, oh, Jesus, can you help me with this? And he just says to me, when you hear a lie from the devil, you reject it outright. Yeah. Don't you think that if there's a truth I want to teach you, I can do it in a way that's not of the devil? And I was like, Touche. But the image that came to mind was, it was like there was this big pile of poop in front of me. And there was like a couple little pieces of straw in the poop. And so I'm digging through this pile of poop, trying to pull out a couple pieces of straw. And Jesus is standing behind me with like a bale of hay. and he's just like, I'm over here. I'm waiting for you. Anyways, so that was just a story of when I heard something from the devil, and I tried to kind of turn it around, but that's just not even necessary. Like, if you hear a lie, you just reject it. And feel free to ask the Lord if there's anything he wants to show you of why that lie is coming on your heart, where the wound is that it's coming from, but you don't have to try to solve the lie yourself. And that's actually just dangerous. So,
and again, to learn what lies are, because again, sister, you're expressing this great confidence that it was a lie. Like that's a wonderful place to be. But if you're struggling to even know what the lies are, I think that's where again those little discernments, and also saying what is the fruit? What is the fruit that comes from? Mm-hmm. If I've discerned something, I start living it out, and then is the fruit good or bad? And then of course saturating all of this with prayer. But then if you say, oh, the fruit was bad, then you say, okay, you know, but also be careful of the fruits, because there's also deep and surface fruits. So the deeper fruits is joy, contentment, hope, you know, trust in God, understanding of his companionship. Whereas God, the devil might give you surface fruits. You know, like you know, I sell my soul to the devil and I can play guitar like a, you know, like a madman. Like that would be a stereotypical surface fruit of selling your soul to the devil for a career. And he'd say, yeah, I'll bless your very surface ways, but down deep, you just sold your soul to the devil, you know. There's also the testing of those, the deeper fruits that rest on your heart, and then there's the more surface ones that the devil has the control over too.
Yeah.
And we've gone along. You need to get to prayer.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
We're now over an hour, so that's okay. I don't mind going over an hour. I just want to make sure you're not late for prayer or whatever you got to do.
Oh, no, we don't have prayer yet.
Oh, so. Okay.
But we should stop because we're over an
hour. Okay.
That's good.
Cool.
But we should talk more about this at some point, because I just kind of skimmed the surface without being able to delve into anything.
Yep. But I wrote down some notes and I highlighted them in different colors. But I think I covered everything.
Wow.
I know. Exactly.
I'm so impressed. Do the colors mean something, or that just was the highlighter that was closest to your hand?
Nope. The green. So I wrote in that in pen. And the green that sister's looking at, that means those are the things I want to cover among all the other ones that you started talking about already. So I don't need to talk with somebody. And then when we started getting low on time, the orange was, these are the two I need to do and forget the other greens.
Got it. You can bring up the greens at the beginning of the next podcast.
I think you kind of covered those well too. I'm not worried about any of them. So, but yeah, if that happens, I will do that. That's the process. Good. That's our policy. All right. Anything else, sister?
No, I'm good. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank y'all for listening.
Yeah. Love you guys.
We also should be writing down like references to put in the notes in the social media for like the book you wrote. So if you referenced anything that we should put in the notes,
got it.
Send those to me. I'll post them on the social media.
You can put notes
in social media, just on the post.
Oh, I understand.
But I think even on Squadcast that we're using, or on whatever we end up using.
Like on the podcast thing?
On the podcast thing, I think you can even put like a transcript and notes and things like that in there. Yeah, for sure.
Whoa, that's so fancy.
Yep.
Okay.
Podcast is becoming a thing. Whoa. All right. Well, I will give everybody a blessing, but we'll finish with that. But thank you, sister. Love you. Thank you for the time. Thank you for sharing with us.
Love you too.
And your vulnerability. It's good to see you. May the Lord bless you all and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, have mercy on you. May he grant you true discernment. May he remove any false insecurity that you may have. May he grant you true humility to never think that what we immediately think is of the devil truly is, but rather these things are tested and the fruits measured. May our Lord give you true confidence and true humility. May he give you patience in this process. You have your whole life, and we have our whole life to get better at this and discern. May he allow your discernments to be true. May he send you the peace of the Holy Spirit and the hope in the kingdom of God. May he lead you towards a conviction that leads to true metanoia, true conversion, and a life that is leading towards salvation. May the Lord bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all.